Did they really kill any of them? Did they really crucify Isa? What really happened to him?
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. أما بعد، our topic today is of no secret. It's regarding the life of the Prophet of Allah, Isa عليه السلام. The timing of the start coincides with the release movie, the popular movie, The Passion of Isa alayhi salam. And the reason that is because of many of the Muslims who have watched it and seen it were affected by it. I would have been exaggerating if I said I received tens of calls regarding that movie. People who seen it or were about to see it and wanted clarification on points in it. And really not details, but rather they began to have misconceptions on principles of Islam that regard Isa that were in that movie. And hundreds of emails that I got asking similar questions. Therefore, it was needed that these matters be cleared up, because one's faith is very important in regards to Isa alayhi salam. In one of the hadith, the Prophet says, whomever bear witness that there is only one God and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and Isa is his messenger, will enter his level in heaven dependent on his level of deed. So belief in Isa is belief in Islam. One who doesn't believe in Isa as a messenger of Allah is not a Muslim. And there's matters within Isa's life that if you don't believe them and have the same belief about them, then one is not a Muslim. Isa alayhi salam is the last messenger of Bani Israel. Allah used to send messengers to tribes and nations in particular. For example, Bani Israel had their own messengers. Whereas if someone came from out of Bani Israel, Isa alayhi salam or Musa alayhi salam would refer to another messenger and tell him, I wasn't just for you. That's how a lot of the messengers were sent. He's a man honored in the Quran in 10 different situations, settings. In 10 different settings in the Quran, Allah talks about important parts of his life or his exploration or matters that happen within him conveying the message. Yet his name itself was mentioned in the Quran 25 times. And that's another for Isa alayhi salam. His mother's name, Maryam alayhi salam, was mentioned in the Quran 31 times. He has a chapter in the Quran named after his grandfather. Grandfather is Imran. Al-Imran is the family of Imran. We have a chapter in the Quran which is Surah number 3 named after him. We have a chapter in the Quran named after Maryam alayhi salam. The name of the Surahs in the Quran are a revelation from Allah. There are revelations from Allah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell the Sahaba, put this verse between this verse and that verse in surah so-and-so. Meaning, the surah name came from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which in turn came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it repeated so much? It's obvious because number one, it's important. The life of Isa alayhi salam is very important because it led many, many people astray. In addition to that, some of the stories were repeated because there are different lessons in them. So you repeat it in one area to draw a lesson from it. You repeat it in another area to draw another, a different lesson from it. You know, in our classes that we had, I used to mention a hadith I recall 7 or 8 times. One of the hadiths that I mentioned 7 or 8 times. And that 7 or 8 times, every time I mentioned it, we took a lesson from that, different from the one before. We're not repeating to more people, but rather every time I was mentioned, there was a different lesson than the time before. That's actually like the repeated stories or verses in the Quran. Another reason, and the third reason, is because Allah mentioned a portion of the story of Isa alayhi salam in one part of the Quran, and then finishes in another part. And that's to draw interest in the Quran. Because, you know, you're really into a story, or you want to know about something, and all of a sudden the story starts. Talk about Maryam, her father, how she was given birth, and how she was in the mind. You stop there. Then you want to know how she gave birth to Isa. That's in another chapter. To get people to read the Quran, to have interest in the Quran, so you won't have one story all the way from beginning to end, and then another story all the way from beginning to end. That draws less interest than if you were to break the story down into several parts as the Quran verse. Isa alayhi salam is a man and a human being who was in the middle of two radical groups. The two radical groups, one went to an extreme in his hatred, and one went to an extreme in his love. And the Ummah, Islamic Ummah, went in the middle. Those who went into an extreme in his hatred, what did they do? They said that Isa is a man with a basket, astaghfirullah. They said his mother was a fornicator. They thought, or they wanted, or they think that they had killed him. They hated him. As they did with all the messengers prior to him. They either kill him or disbelieve him. أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُكُمْ اسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. Every time you send your messenger, your own life, you either disbelieve in him or you try to kill him or you do it. The second radical group in Isa was a group who went into an extreme in his love. And those, of course, are the Christians. The ones who said he's either Allah or the son of Allah or a portion of Allah, they went to an extreme in their love of Isa. Allah describes the first one, the Jews, as al-maghdub alayhim, the cursed people, because they know the truth and they refuse to follow. The Christians are called in the Quran al-dalleen, the ones who are astray, because a lot of the Christians are just followers of their leaders. There's a difference between knowing the truth and not following, and just being a blind follower of your leader. Both are wrong, and both are not justified. However, one is cursed, and one is just mentioned in the Quran as a curse, and that's why you have a Surah Al-Fatiha. Wala al-dalleen, the Christians, al-maghdubi alayhim, are the Jews, the Muslims came in the middle, and they gave Isa alayhi salam the appropriate right that Allah gave him, put him in a position that Allah put him in, and that is that he is a messenger of Allah, sent by Allah with the Torah, and not believing in him in such a manner is not being a Muslim. We start off with the talk on Isa alayhi salam, not by his wife, nor is it by his mother's life, but rather by his grandparents' life. Allah in the Quran honored them by the surah that mentioned after them, Surah Ali Imran, where Allah mentioned,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين ذرية بعضها من بعض والله سميع عليم.
Allah chose Adam. Allah chose Noah. Allah chose the family of Ibrahim. And Allah chose the family of Imran. Among all nations. Allah chose them over all the nations. Look at the Adam, Noah, Ibrahim and his family. All messengers and prophets of Allah. And he attributes to them the family of Al-Imran to honor them by attributing them in the same verse, in the same sentence, with messengers of Allah. These are chosen people. The family of Imran, the family she runs all the way up to Dawood alayhi salam. His name, the grandfather of Isa, of course the grandfather from his mother's side, the younger grandfather from his father's side, because he was born with our father. His grandfather from his mother's side, his name is Imran. His wife is Hanna bin Fa'ul. This woman was unable to conceive of their kids. At one time in her life, she seen a bird feeding his baby bird in her lap. You know how they go and eat and then it vomited into the baby bird's mouth? She seen the mother vomiting into her young baby food into his mouth. She sympathized and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her baby. And the one who can give something by the word kun fayakun, be and it happens in his front, on the spot allowed her to become pregnant, even though she was at an older age than being able to bear the conception. Usually, when one asks Allah for something, they tend to forget to thank Allah. It's either one of two things, most of the time. There's exception. Either people forget to thank Allah, you ask Allah, oh Allah, I want to graduate, oh Allah, I want this, oh Allah, I want to get married, oh Allah, I want this. And then when Allah gives you that, you forget to thank Allah. That's a better category than the second one. Another one, you attribute it to other than Allah. They graduated, they say, oh, you know, it's time to allow them to graduate. They continue to say, oh, I got married, and it's natural to have the kid. That's the usual way of how human beings think. It is rare for someone to say, Alhamdulillah, graduated after 4 years, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. So that's actually a lesson from Allah. That's why one of the reasons the Muslims in Allah delayed the dua. Because then a lot of the people accepted and seen who's going to thank Allah, and who's going to deny that Allah has something to do with it, and who's going to truly thank Allah for that which Allah gave her. The mother of Maryam, Hannah, is pregnant. She's not either of those two categories. One who forgets to thank Allah, nor is she the kind that attributes it to other than Allah. Actually, as soon as she got pregnant, her first reaction was,
يُسْقَى لَكُمْ وَاكُمْ وَمَا رَبِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي رَبِّي نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا فتقبل إنك أنت السميع العليم.
The wife of Imran said, Oh Allah, Oh Allah, I commit in the book my infant solely for your sake and for your service. To accept for Allah from me. This baby is in my stomach. He's devoted all for your sake and only for your sake to accept from me, O Allah. She wanted to commit him to the service of Allah. And back then they used to commit him to the service of Allah in Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, the holy area of Bayt al-Maqdis. And what they did back then when they served, they worship all day long, eat, drink, worship all day long and serve the people who come to visit and clean the sacred area of Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis. And that actually happened in our time as well, in all times. If you go to Medina or Mecca, you're going to find some people who are called the Abbas. The Abbas are the people who you see in Medina and Mecca, and there's rarely any of them left. They're very tall black men with no facial hair, and they have a soft dress, the white dress, and a robe over them, and a very, very neat turban. These people, they stand out, you see them, you would know them. These people, their mothers, when they were young kids, devoted them for Mecca and Medina, the two houses of Allah in Mecca and Medina, to serve and clean and worship in them. And what they did, and of course this is haram, but they thought they were doing something good, is they castrated them. Reason being, so they will not have no desire, and they will stay in Mecca and Medina, serving and worshiping Allah the rest of their life. And that's the reason they don't have no facial hair. The point being is their mothers, when they were young, did that and brought them to Medina from Africa or Ethiopia and brought them to Mecca and left them in Mecca, so in Medina, so they can clean the houses of Allah and take care of people as needed over there. And that's what they used to do. When I remember when I was a little kid in winter, when I was there from 7 years old to about, I was about 13 years old, there was plenty of them. They were the only people who cleaned the masjid, the entire masjid. They slept, they took the carpet, they pulled the doors of the masjid. There was many of them, but they were at a very old age, I recall. When I went after finishing high school, there was rarely any of them left. There were few of them, and they were still in charge. Yeah, at that time, the government had brought companies to clean the masjid because they got too much upon them. They weren't able to handle it. The same way these people were devoted, which are called the Arabs, is exactly what Hannah wanted to do with her infant. The problem came about when she gave birth. She gave birth, and it turns out her infant is not a boy as she had assumed. She had assumed and thought so much about devotedness to the masjid to Jerusalem that she thought it was going to be a boy, for sure. She it never met her, but it might be a hint, and said, female. And that's why she was at a shock when she gave birth to her baby. Listen to Allah's verses, and these are two verses that I'm reading from Surah Al-Imran.
فلما وضعتها قالت رب إني وضعتها أنثى والله أعلم بما وضعت وليس الذكر كالأنثى وإني سميتها مريم وإني أعيذها بك وذريتها من الشيطان الرجيم.
She gives birth to this beautiful, innocent, young girl, and she says, as the verse says, and she was delivered, oh Lord, oh Allah, I delivered a female child, and Allah knows that's what she delivered. And a female is not like a male. A male is not like a female. I named her Maryam, and I command her and her offspring from your, with your protection from the evil one. So she gives birth, she says, oh Allah, it's a girl. Thought it was going to be a male. But it's a girl, and a girl is not like a guy. Why? Because there's many things that occur. I mean, she's in charge of this and not this, or she's going to be cleaning and living there, there's going to be mingling. And usually, impious people don't mingle with the opposite sex. So how's that going to happen? Also, women disappear. In that time, she has to get away from Bait al-Maqdis. Also, security reasons. She's a female alone. A female alone needs the help of a man. He needs to buy her, help her, make sure no one tries to harm her or take advantage of her. That's why in Islam, every woman has to have a wakil. She has to have a wakil. Some guardian. Every woman. If she's young and her father's house, her father's wakil. If her father's not dead, her uncle's the wakil. If her uncle's not around, then the Khalifa or the leader of the Muslims is the wakil. If he's not around, then the Khalifa will appoint someone. Or in our time and age where we don't have a Khalifa and we're living, you know, in the West, then maybe the masjid, the local imam, or older figure with wisdom will be in charge. She gives birth to the female, and that's Maryam. He says, وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمْ. And she names her Maryam, and she says, I seek refuge in you, Ya Allah, that the devil not harm her or her offspring. She wanted it to be a male. She thought it was a male. It turned out to be a female. And this is a lesson to us, to teach us. When you ask Allah for something, or you wish to know Allah, and it turns out to be something else, know that always Allah chooses, if you are a believer, what is best for you. Look at that. She thought it was a dead end when she gave birth to a female. But what happened? It turns out that Maryam, alayhi salam, her daughter, that she thought she couldn't devote to the masjid, to Jerusalem, to the caretaking of the house of Allah, she thought that it wouldn't happen. It turns out Maryam would be the first one to be in charge of Jerusalem. It was Maryam's name, the only female name that's mentioned in the Quran, not once or twice, but rather 31 times. SubhanAllah. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is the woman who came to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a story about her husband, or complained to her about her husband, who told her, you're like my husband. He told her, you're like my mother to me, my relationship to you is like my relationship to my mother. This was a form similar to divorce before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So back then when they said that, that's it. The relationship between a husband and wife would be like a man and his mother. It's called back then the heart. The story is in the Quran, it's put in Mujadala, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. And she complains to the Prophet ﷺ, and it's a story where Aisha was sitting right next to him in the beginning. However, the whole story is there, the woman came back and she. Zaynab, the Prophet ﷺ's wife, the one who used to brag to other women that Allah married her off to the Prophet ﷺ from on top of the bed. You know, when a woman gets married, her father is going to give her away. Her daddy, her brother, her son maybe, the Khalifa, the leader, local imam, is the one who's going to give away. However, Zaynab used to brag because she did not have a human bragging to give her away, but rather, it was Allah who did the entire marriage for her. فَلَمَّا قَدْرَ زَيْدٌ When divorced, if she was divorced from Zayd, فَلَمَّا قَدْرَ مِنْهَا زَيْدٌ وَقَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا He told the Ahzab, زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا We married her off to you. When Allah did the marriage, that was it. There was no two witnesses. There was this was special to the Prophet because Allah said, زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا He said, go around and tell the Qina, you know what, Allah married me off to you, let's say I don't need no witnesses. I said, no, this was a specialty because Allah directly told the Prophet, زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا The Qina there, it means I mentioned in the Quran. Another example, Aisha. You know that she was accused in her honor. And Aisha رضي الله عنها's story mentioned in Surah Al-Ikh, in Surah Al-Nur. The story of Al-Ikh. She was accused in her honor for 30 days. People thought that she had committed a sin with another man. Yet Allah declares her innocence in the Quran. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوا شَرًّا لَكُمْ Those who came with the evil life, regarding whom? Regarding Aisha. Don't think it's bad for you. It was good to see who the believers are and who the non-believers are. The hypocrites are and who the ones who were steadfast in the Prophet Muhammad are. So where's Aisha's name? Who's he talking about? Talking about Aisha. Where's her name? It's not in the Quran. The only one mentioned in the Quran is Maryam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the best of all women is Maryam. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the best of women in heaven are Maryam, Khadija, Asiya, Fatima. Maryam is the one we're talking about. Khadija is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Asiya is the wife of Fir'aun. And Fatima is the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Add to that, Maryam is the only woman ever in the history of the universe who appropriately and legitimately is allowed her offspring be attributed to her. Her son is attributed to her. You can't name me Ahmed, the son of my mother's name. You can't name me that. I can't name you Abdullah, the son of your mother's name. You can't do that. بجرد سبب الشخص في أصحابه. أول كان القرآن دعوهم لآبائهم. الإنسان يسوى ذلك. الزوج يقصد التنصاب في الهزم زي ما في الهدي النائب الخمير للسنة. حرام. لسه من كنتولة. If you're forced to do that for legal work or you know, immigration work, that's a different story and it must be changed later on. However, if you do it because you're in love or following the tradition of the kuffar, it's haram. You cannot change your name to your husband's family name. Allah said in Surah Al-Ahzab, وَدْعُوهُمْ لِآبَائِهِمْ. So the only person you can name yourself to is your father. Female or male. However, the only person ever whose offspring is attributed to her is Maryam. What do we call Maryam? It's in the Quran, named Isa ibn Maryam. Isa, the son of Maryam. She's the only woman in the universe chosen to be told the secret of bearing Isa, the messenger of Allah, later on. So all these specialties, look how much Allah honors them. There's much more that Allah honors her with. But look at these specialties that came about when Hannah, her mother, thought it was a dead end and that she wanted a boy and that having a girl was going to kill her hope in devoting this baby to the house of Allah. The next portion of the ayah. I seek refuge, O God, O Allah, from the devil to have, for any effect of the devil to happen on Maryam or on her offspring. And what she means by this du'a, and the translation of this du'a or the meaning of it, is when anyone, the Prophet ﷺ said in Sahih al-Bukhari, when any newborn is born, the shaitan comes to him and pokes him in his side, and that's why he comes out of his mother's womb crying. Except Isa and his mother. Why? Because his grandmother made du'a that I seek refuge, O Allah, that the shaitan may have an effect upon. So that effect was not to occur to Isa or his mother, but only two people. It said that when they were born, the shaitan came to try to poke them, and the angel blocked them off from being able to do that. That's basically, you know, the shaitan showing his face and saying, hey, I'm here for you. I'm here to lead you astray, and I'm here to lead you to your own path. So Allah accepted her du'a, and of course, accepted her du'a and accepted it not only to Maryam but to her offspring, because her offspring ended with Isa. Isa had no more children. Had he had any children, the du'a would have continued on, that after Isa alayhi salam, when his children would not be affected by the devil. Now Maryam is born. And Allah says in the Quran,
فتقبلها ربها بقبول حسن.
Allah accepted her in a good acceptance. What do we mean by good acceptance or Allah accepted her? Allah accepted the mother's commitment, allowing Maryam to go and be a servant of Satan Master. Allah accepted that commitment. And accepted also that she be grown up in a pious and special upbringing. The next part of the verse.
وَأَنْبَتَنَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا وَكَفَّلَنَا زَكَرِيَّا.
What happens now, she's a young girl, as soon as she's independent to be on her own, her mother takes her by her hand. She could have forgot about it. She said, oh, I got my daughter, I got my wish, and that's it, you know. No need to take her and divorce her. Because it's hard on a woman to be separate and away from your kids and children. However, this is a woman full of faith. And this is an example of a household full of faith and demand from the children of Bani Israel. She takes her daughter and walks towards Bayt al-Maqdis. And she isn't able at that time or those days to enter Bayt al-Maqdis. As soon as they, she brings them, the pious people and the worshippers of Bayt al-Maqdis know what she's coming for. They meet her at the outskirts of Bayt al-Maqdis, at the outside gate, and they begin to argue as to who's going to be taken care of Maryam. Everyone thought it knew she was special, and everyone wanted to take care of her. Zakaria, the messenger of Allah, lived during her time and lived in the same area. They were neighbors. So as soon as Zakaria seen her coming by, he started asking, I'm going to be the caretaker of Maria. But other worshippers said, that's not fair. Why do you have more rights than us to take care of her? Zakaria said, because it's a two narrations. That Maryam is his sister-in-law. Meaning Zakaria's wife is Maryam's sister. That's one narration that we have. Another narration is that Zakaria's wife is Maryam's aunt, Khala, her aunt from her mother's side. The stronger of the two narrations is that Zakaria's wife was Maryam's sister. And this shows you that when her mom took her to commit her, she was at an older age. At an age where she was independent and possibly old enough to get married. Because her sister was born and must have been born and had to have been born after her was already a wife to Zakaria. So Zakaria said, this is my sister-in-law. I have no right to take care of her anyway. No. What's the solution? They said, we're going to do a qura'a. Qura'a is a draw. It's a draw. What happens in the draw is that you quote the name of 10 people or 3 people, however many there is, and you pull out a name, and that name is the lucky person or the fortunate person. Well, and this happened with the messengers of Allah 3 different times. Yunus, alayhi salam, when he got mad at his people and he left on the ship, and the ship was about to sink in, they said, we have someone here who is astray or ran away from his master. We have to throw her. That's why our ship is sinking. And they did a jar. They put all the names of the people on the ship in a jar, and they pulled out the name, and it was Yunus alayhi salam's name. And that's when they threw him in the ocean, and Allah saved him by putting him in the stomach of the whale for a very long time. That's the first time. The second time is in the situation of Zakaria, when they get a drunk who's going to take care of Maryam. And the third time is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Sahih al-Bukhari and other sunan, where when he used to go out on a travel and he had his wife, which one would go with him? He would do the same thing. Put their names in a jar and pull out one of them, and whoever leave me there, he would take her on that trip or journey along with him. What they did is they agreed. Again, it has another two narrations to it. They agreed to put the tent in the Jordan River. Today we still know it as the Jordan River. In the Jordan River, as you know, all rivers have a current that takes them under. It says the tent that goes the opposite way. Then the current is the owner of that tent is the one who's going to take care of Mecca. They used to take their tent that they wrote Torah. Meaning tent that they did a lot of good deeds with. So everyone takes out his tent and puts it in the Jordan River, and the current takes it all one way, cuts one tent, it goes the opposite, and that's the tent of the Kariyah. It's okay now, that's enough. Let's do it a second time. Same thing. The one that goes the opposite, then the current is the Kariyah's tent. The third time, the same thing. There's another narration that says it wasn't done that way, but rather what they did, when they said, put your pen in the river and recall a young boy, yet innocent, young boy, as a rich puberty, who's walking by, who's going to come over and pick one of these pens. Whichever pen you take is the pen. The owner of that pen is the one who's going to take care of Maryam. And it turns out the boy that they chose, he had chosen Zakaria alayhi salam's pen, and then they all agreed that Zakaria should be the caretaker of Maryam. If there's reasons behind that, the reason is because Allah is the best of the best for Maryam. Zakaria is the messenger of Allah. So Allah wanted Zakaria to be the caretaker of this woman. So she can learn from Zakaria. She can learn the wisdom, the revelation from Allah from Zakaria. She can get the right type from Zakaria. And he's the best of that time, the best person of that time. It's like the Prophet of our times and after. the best person of that time was Zakaria, and he got the honor of taking care of Maryam alayhi salam. A lesson in Zakaria being chosen is that there was something Zakaria needed to learn from Maryam. That is, Zakaria and his wife were not able to conceive kids. And this is later on, this happens later on. But now the appropriate time to mention it. Zakaria walks in and sees she has food. He brings the food, starts up the food, and takes it to Maryam. And every time he walks in on Maryam, he finds food there. And that's not the miracle itself. That's a miracle. And how to get the food when the only male who enters upon her and brings the food is Zakaria? That's a miracle. But that's not the big portion of the miracle. What's bigger than that is that Maryam is to have the food that only grows. In winter, she found it in summer. And the food that grows and that they have in summer, she used to have it in winter. This is a miracle from Allah. They didn't have back then refrigerators and freezers to store food. No, but have what you grow in winter, summer, you had it in summer. What you have grow in winter, you had it in winter, only. She used to have it the opposite. Mm-hmm. Allah says in the Quran,
كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب.
زكريا had built her an establishment for a mihrab. A mihrab, the definition of a mihrab, is a place where someone lives and worships in the masjid or in the holy place. For example, it's a room built in the mosque or in a portion of the mosque or on top of it. And if you look at the old churches that are built overseas, you find those rooms in them. And these are the rooms that we call a mihrab. The mihrab today isn't to where the imam prays. You know that circular, half circular area where the imam goes and prays, they call a mihrab. That's really a false term used for that. And people think that's a mihrab, and actually they put this word. You see it on top of the mihrab in a lot of messages. كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا. It seems to show that that's the mihrab. No, that's not the mihrab. A mihrab is a room built in a masjid or on top of a masjid for someone who lives in that place of worship and stays and remains there. That's where a lot of the churches, if you go and you see a church, you're going to find they have room and it was just for trouble. Every time Zakaria walks in on her in that mihrab, the room, she worships there, and she resides in Lebanon. She asked her Maryam, where did you get this food?
قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمُ أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا
She said, Zakaria, it's from Allah.
قَالَ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ
What Allah was trying to tell Zakaria the lesson to him. The same one who provided her the food of the summer and winter, and the food of winter and summer, and Allah provided her and brought it down to her, he's the same one who can provide you with a child if you want one. On the spot, Zakaria said,
هُنَالِكَ دَعَا زَكَرِيَا رَبَّهُ قال رب هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة إنك سميع الدعاء.
Oh Allah, I'm a spark. He said, oh, you have sent me offspring or a son. In other verses it says, you wanted a son to help him continue the message of Allah.
يرثني ويرث من آل يعقوب في الحياة الصميمة بمجد الله. هذا الطاع لعند جبن بنون لإزرائيل وغير الحكاية. أمنتكم الله.
فلا تسخوا الملائكة وهو قائم يصلي في المحراب أن الله يبشرك بيحيى.
The same way Allah trying to mention. The same way Allah provided her with the winner of the food of the winner in summer and the food of the summer in winter. The same way Allah is able to provide you with a child. And he, his wife, became pregnant. A unique side issue about the Zakariya is when he was given the news of the fast, a similar situation happened to him. Like many, he fasted from Prophet. And there's two verses in the Quran where Allah says in the Quran, آيَاتِكَ أَلَّا تُكَلِّمَ النَّاسَ ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ سَوِيَّةً. Your miracle is not to speak to people 3 months in a row. 3 days in a row is not a new silence. Then in another verse, Allah says, وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ كَثِيرًا. During these days, praise Allah. And a lot of people use this to be contradictory. How does Allah say, not to fast these days from fasting, and you say, I'm able to fast in those 3 days? Then Allah says, and praise Allah, praise Allah a lot in these days. And it's really not contradictory, it's just the ignorance of people that Zakariya was fast from any kind of fasting. You tell him, Assalamu alaikum? No fast. How are you, Zakariya? No fast. Praise Allah, Alhamdulillah. Astaghfirullah, fast, you can fast. So he was unable to talk about worldly matters, but he was able to talk and praise Allah. Back to Maryam alayhi salam. This is the situation of Maryam and Zakariya, and the wife, and the mother of Maryam, shows us that Allah provides us with means and without means. For example, what I'm trying to say is that the means are there in a situation, and it's by the will of Allah that He gives you what you want or what usually happens. For example, the man is married to the wife. What usually happens by the will of Allah is they conceive and bear kids. That's one of the ways of Allah providing for you. The means are there, the second way. The means are there, the husband and wife are there, but they're not able to conceive. Yet sometimes Allah, with a miracle, provides them with a child. For example, the Canadian, he's married, his wife is married to him, and they're not able to conceive this, yet Allah provides them with a child. The third way is that the means are not there, and Allah provides. And that's like Adam, alayhi salam. There's no father, there's no mother, but there's Adam, alayhi salam. And also in Maryam, alayhi salam, she had no husband, however, she was able to conceive Isa alayhi salam. This is a lesson to show us that depending on me entirely to shift, not Islam, takes out of Islam. To say, oh, it was just Mary that provided me with this plan, no, that's not Islam. It was Allah who provided through the means of your marriage. The provider is Allah. But your marriage was just a means to get back which Allah provided you with. That's why dependent totally on me becomes shirk. Maryam alayhi salam continued in the mihrab to pray and worship and take care of Jerusalem. The angels come down to her one time to inspire her and to give her the good news, telling her, Ya Maryam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. يَا مَرْيَمُ اقْنُطِي لِرَبِّكِ وَاسْجُدِي وَارْكَعِي مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. إذا الأنجل قام في بوسطة كي قال يا مريم إن الله اصطفاكي. الله chose you. وطهرتي. Purified you. واصطفاكي. Showed you again. على نساء العالمين. I'm the woman of the universe. يا مريم اقنطي لربك. Oh, you, Maryam. Pray and worship your Lord, وَارْجَعِ وَسْجِدِي وَارْكَعِي مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ and bow and prostrate for the sake of Allah. Imagine that Allah tells this woman two times in one verse that Allah has chosen her. She's a special woman. Two times to add assurance to the already established fact that she's chosen, that she is a chosen and special woman, Maryam alayhi salam. One day, she leaves to an easterly direction of the Masjid. East of what? East of Jerusalem. Why she left there is because some scholars say she needed to use the bathroom. Or she was on her period and wanted to get away from the whole area. Or she just wanted to worship Allah in seclusion. Either way, it doesn't really matter why she left. She left to the easterly direction. And now we jump to Surah Maryam to get the story of what happened there. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمَ And remember the book Maryam.
وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمَ إِذِ انْتَبَهَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا
Easterly direction. Ibn Abbas when he tells me this verse, he says, Wallahi, I know what Christians say. The East has the Qibla and direction and the holy direction. And his answer was, that's because where Maryam was talking about the Christians of his time. And I think, from what I know, possible that the Christians of this time also take the Easterly direction as their holy direction. And it's because of this situation when Maryam alayhi salam went to the East alone. فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا She's now in the easterly direction. East, meaning what? She's in a, out, in an easterly direction, away from everyone, and away from Jerusalem.
فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا
What we mean by hijab here is Hijab in the Quran comes for two themes. The first one is the hijab that a woman wears, the headscarf, the jilbab, the himar that she wears. That's one of the meanings. Another meaning hijab comes to mean a screen or a barrier. For example, a wall in your house where you separate between, for example, two things, whether maybe males and females, or two entities, two families or whatever, that in itself is called hijab. The wall itself is called hijab. So she took a screen or a barrier upon herself, away from everyone. فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحًا We sent to her our ruh. Our ruh. Our ruh means our soul. So Allah said, we sent her our soul. What we mean over here is Jibreel alayhi salam. Our soul in this verse is Jibreel alayhi salam. And the reason he called this the soul is because he's the soul for all humanity. The same way you need to live off food and water, your soul needs food also. And that's the belief part of it. And the one who brings the belief part to all humanity was Jibreel. So he's like the food of the soul. He's the one who rises the soul, and that's why it's called that. Other scholars say it's called Ruh, because you know in Arabic, when someone loves someone, they usually say, Ya Ruh, oh my soul, Ya Ruh. And they say because the Jibreel is the most beloved creation to Allah, that's why it's called Ruhana. You know, you tell someone who you love, Ya Ruh, I love you, you know, my soul. You know what you mean, you're physically your soul, but you mean that you love him so much, so much you love yourself. So they say Jibreel was the most beloved creation to Allah, that Allah called him Ruhana. And the third reason that's given is because he is a spiritual being and all good. He's a spiritual being and all good. There's no evil to him. So that's why he's called Ruhana. Jibreel comes down to her when she's in an easterly direction. How did Allah send Jibreel to Maryam? You know the story of the Prophet Muhammad when he first got the revelation from Allah and he was in the cave. And Jibreel comes to him, and grabs him, and he says to him, Iqra, and he says, I can't read. He says, Iqra, three times, and the point of it is Jibreel in his physical fullness that Allah created him upon, and he runs back to his wife Khadija, terrified, saying, cover me, cover me. And the Prophet, he's the Prophet, and he's a man. And you see him in his physical form, and he was horrified. In fact, in one of the hadith of Prophet ﷺ besides the day, he had 600 wings with it. There is one wing, he covered the entire sky with that wing. And another hadith that we know, Jibreel took the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, the homosexuals, and he lifted them on the tip of one of his wings and flipped them over upside down. He lifted them up so high that the angels in the sky could hear the crying of the children, and flipped it upside down, and that's where you have the Dead Sea today. This is to show you the physical form of Jibreel. In fact, we have a narration in Sirah where the Hamza asked the Prophet ﷺ that he wanted to see the day. And Hamza always, that is expressed by the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet always gave Hamza what he wanted because he loved him so much. So Hamza did to see the day by the Kaaba in an area where, you know, back in the days when the Hamza and the Prophet ﷺ were in Mecca, there was an area where the people took their clothes off and put them there while they just walk around the Kaaba because they needed to do it new. So near that area, Hamza and the Prophet ﷺ are sitting, and Hamza did his wish to see Jibreel. The hadith describes that as soon as Hamza began to lift his eyesight to see Jibreel, he just used a little portion of the bottom of the bed, he passed. And you know, Hamza is one of the most strongest of all the companions in time. When they used to go and wrestle each other in Mecca, Hamza used to go out to the outskirts of Mecca and in the wilderness and wrestle the wild animals. That's what the word. So imagine if this happened to the Prophet and to Hamza, if Jibreel were to come in his physical shape, the Alatrian part, what would happen to Mary?
فأرسلنا إليها روحنا
الله تعالى
فتمثل لها بشرا سويا.
He came to her in a human being form. Is Maryam a messenger of Allah or not? She a prophet of Allah or not? Because some people pray that as soon as the Jibreel comes to anyone, that they're messenger of Prophet of Allah. And the answer to that is no, she's not. Yet, a few scholars disclaim she was, but the truth in the greatest majority is that she's not. Why? Because, number one, she's a woman. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا. We only send prior to you men. Men. رِجَالًا. Specified men. And Allah doesn't specify it just like that as written in the Quran with no meaning. It's not a put down for a woman, but a woman is created different from a man, just like the verse we just put earlier. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And a male is not like a female. That's what Hannah said, and Allah put the ذكر in the Quran. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And a male is not like a female. That's not to put them down, but everyone is created differently. There's things a male couldn't do that a female does. And there's a thing that female doesn't do, that can't do, that a male does. Imagine she's a messenger of Allah, or a prophet of Allah. And she's a prophet of Allah, and she needs to meet all these men. And the men think she's beautiful, and they have desire over her. That's gonna happen. That's practical. And imagine she's a prophet or a messenger of Allah, she gets pregnant. What is she gonna say? Well, you guys, excuse me. I need 9 months off from this messengerhood. And even if she bears the problem of pregnancy and stays until the last month, she says, you know what, the last month I can't put up with it. I have to be alone until I give birth. And then after that, you know, I'm going to be unclear for 60 days. I can't sit and meet with you and sit in the house of Allah. She gives birth and her husband is there and he says, you know what, I don't want you to go and teach today because I need you for my desire. It doesn't work. And the same I say, the male cannot play a female role in plenty of things. Allah created them equal in their own way. And the decisive proof on that is that Allah says in the Quran about Isa, وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقًا. He didn't say وَأُمُّهُ نَبِيًّا. صِدِّيقًا means a pious believer. صِدِّيقًا or صِدِّيق is the second category of the messenger. That's why in heaven the people are ranked the best one, مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ. The highest rank is the messenger. The second one is the صِدِّيقِينَ, those who have high ranking in believing. Like Maryam, like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anh. And the third one is the martyr, and then after that, the general masses of the believers. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًا. And also, if everyone who Allah reveals to is a messenger or prophet, then the beings in the hive are messengers. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ. And Allah reveals to the beings. And also, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى أُمِّ مُوسَى. We revealed to Musa, and most of the scholars agree that two of them are messenger of Allah. So Allah sends Jibreel in a human being, foreigner, to Maryam, one of a very beautiful looking man. Angels only come down when they change from their original physical form in beautiful looking beings. Not scary looking, and not terrifying, and not one with any deformity. For example, he didn't have an eye popped out, or his mouth, no broken, or he has major stripes on his face, but he came in a beautiful form, and that's exactly what Allah says in the Quran, Basharan Sawiyya. That's the meaning of Sawiyya. What was her reaction? She's now alone. A person comes to her out of the blue, and she's not used to mingling with other men. She's virgin, young, alone, and she wasn't accustomed to seeing any other man other than the Kareem. So her eyes stare at her, and her voice flies. Someone comes near me. How dare they? Some of the women today, they say, oh, come over to her, you look so handsome. But this wasn't Maryam. How could she even be near another man? That wasn't something Maryam, alayhi salam, would do. What does Maryam say?
قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا.
I seek refuge in Allah from you if you are believing. If you are Allah, leave me alone. She uses a way to get people, other people away, that is very mean. Someone coming to her, think that she's gonna harm him. She tells him if you fear Allah, in kunta taqiyya, leave me alone. This only affects people who fear Allah. For example, someone coming today to rob your heart in this country, you tell him, fear Allah, leave me alone, he's gonna put a bullet in the head. They don't fear Allah, so this is not gonna affect them. However, she's seeming to do something that showed that this guy did not feel the person. This is a person who did feel Allah. The only time this works for him is when someone truly feels Allah. You know the story of the three people in the cave? Where some people, authentic story that the Prophet ﷺ told us, they happened long time before the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Three people entered the cave, and the cave had an opening which a huge rock fell upon it, and they weren't able to push it out. So this is the only thing that you out of hell is Jibreel. The first one got up and said, oh Allah, I used to come with food every night after waking a long day with the word and feed my tents, and after I was back here in my tents, I give it to my kids. One of those months he waited until the evening came home late and his parents were sleeping and his kids were crying. He said, oh Allah, I did not give my kids because I wanted to give priority over to my tents. Oh Allah, I did that for your kids, then give me an opening. To leave from there. The opening cracks a little bit, but not enough for any of them to leave. Then the next one comes and says, oh Allah, I used to be a merchant and a farmer, and some man came and worked for me, and his due apartment after he worked was one sheep. After he was done working for me, he forgot his sheep and left. Later on, he came back and he said, do you remember I worked for you long time ago, years and years ago, and I forgot to take my sheep? He said, yes, there. That valley over there is all yours. That one sheep had babies and babies and babies, and he took care of it, and so it became a whole valley. He said, fear Allah, this is not my one sheep. Quit mocking me. He says that whole valley is yours. Said, oh Allah, and then he took the whole valley, and I didn't take no good provision all the sheep for it. Oh Allah, I did that for you, it's in your faith only, then open a little bit for the sheep. The third one, the third of the is the third one. The third one says, oh Allah, I have a beautiful cousin. I always be very exception. And I asked her to commit adultery, fornication with her. And she refused. The days went on when she needed to borrow money. She had a hardship and she needed to borrow money. She came to me. And she said, cousin, I need to borrow some of your wealth. So I will, but that you had asked me for a long time ago, I want it. Meaning, I want to have sex with you. And she has no, you know, no way out of it. She's desperate for the wealth. So as soon as he gets on top of her, the hadith says, on top of her, she tells him, fear Allah and don't break this virginity with honest blood. Look at that. You tell someone in that position, fear Allah, it's only one who fears Allah that's going to really listen to you. So he jumps up away from her and leaves her be, he gives her the love and she goes on out. Says, oh Allah, I did that for your sake and your sake only. Then they can open it and they left out of the gate. Look at that. Fear Allah, you told that to someone other than that person. Would he really listen to you? Would he really get out? You said, after this, I'll fear Allah. No, but this was a person who fears Allah. Other people, when you don't fear Allah, it doesn't work with them. So she says to him, if you fear Allah, if you are fakir, then leave me alone. She knew from the facial expression that this was a fearful person who fears Allah.
قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَسُولُ رَبِّكِ لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا.
Jibreel tells her, trying to comfort her and calm her down, don't be afraid. I'm a messenger of Allah to you. Now, does she take that for face value, or does she investigate? You know, some guy comes to a woman today and tells her, well, I'm a messenger for Allah to you. I'm a messenger of Allah to you, and I have to do a few things. And he takes the value of her. Does she believe him? The explanation to that is that she's seen in him miracles that made her believe him. Also, Allah instilled in her that he's not lying. He's not a person of God. Add to that, the fact that there was revelation back then. Zakaria was there. He approved it. He didn't disapprove it. And they knew it was something from Allah. So now, if they come to the from Jirari or Lari, you can't have that again happen again. Because that's something that will not happen with revelation next to it to support it. I am a messenger of Allah to grant you. Who's the one who's granting? Of course it's Allah. However, when Jibreel is going through the direct means, he's the one coming down with the means, then he could attribute it to himself. لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا. زكية means لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا. زكية means a son, a purified son, who is not at this point a bastard. قالت أنا يكون لي غلام. She said, how can I have a son? ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا. She gives two reasons. How can I have a son when I'm not, literally the first thing, when I haven't been touched by a man? But touched in this verse means sexual relationship. When I have never had a sexual relationship with a man, and number two, I'm not a prostitute. Baghiyya is from the Arabic word, yabghiyya, why? Because a prostitute wants male, it's called baghiyya. She's a prostitute. That's the meaning of a prostitute. She imagined saying, I'm not someone who was ever touched by a male, and I'm not a prostitute. These are only two weird ways she knows that someone can conceive a kid. She's neither of the two. Qala tahari. Qala rabbuki. Huwa alayya hiyyun. In that sense, that's your hand. She wanted to know how. She knew the message from Allah. How did it happen? She said, this is the name as you are. Meaning she's asking. She's not just a proven of Allah's will. She's asking, how is that going to happen? I haven't been married. I'm not a prostitute. I haven't had sex with anyone. No male other. In the setting you're in, Maria. Meaning, it's not going to drop down from the sky. It's not going to come by someone passing by and putting her as a kid. It's going to be that you get pregnant in the setting you're in. That's it. The way someone can bear a child is one of four ways. Number one, without a father. Or a mother. Like Adam, like Esau over here. Adam has no father, no mother. Esau has no father. By both terms, a father and a mother. Then you have a baby. And the next one is by a man alone. And that's like Adam and Allah. So there's four ways. But the first one is the A and B category. Without a father, without a father and a mother. Without a father, like Isa, without a father and mother, like Adam. A and B. The next one is by a parent, father and mother, they can see it, a baby. The next one is by a man alone, and that's like Adam when Hawa came out of his good. When Allah says, we're going to make those debris to tell her, we're going to make him a miracle. When Allah says, for the universe, for the people, wa rahmatan minna. When Allah says, he is a miracle in the way he's going to be born without a father, and he's going to come with miracles for the people. As you're going to see the types of miracles that Allah granted to Zakaria. Wa rahmatan minna. And mercy from us, because he is alive to the throne, you know. Messengers and teachers and knowledgeable people, scholars, are alive to the throne and a mercy to the throne. They're the ones who save the universe from disaster, because without them, people be led astray. So he's the mercy of Allah to this universe. وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا. Final decision made by Allah. Meaning Maryam, Jibril said, Maryam, it's a decision made by Allah. Give up. Allah made that decision. There's no way in going back on it. And an important lesson from this question and answer by Jibril and by Maryam is that you have one question that could be replied to by many different ways. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was sitting with the companion. A man came to him and said, Ibn Abbas, if someone killed Henry X, Ibn Abbas said no. In the same sense, another man came and said, Ibn Abbas, if someone killed Henry X, Ibn Abbas said yes. Ibn Abbas stood and said, what's wrong with Ibn Abbas? One guy told him no, one guy told him yes. The same question. He said yes, because it's a different situation. The first one had him killed, and if I tell him yes, you can return, he most likely is going to go and kill and return after that. So I told him no, he won't go and kill. The next one is a guy who killed and came to ask me if he can return, and I told him yes, because he wanted to return, and if I say no, I would be closing the gates of repentance and causing more evil than good in doing that. So the same question could be answered many times. This question about Maryam having a baby without having a husband is a one question answered in three different ways in this story. The first one is Maryam herself. She asked Jibril, how can I have a kid? In the category of one who, you know, who you answer to is number one, people who is iman is at the peak. The iman is at the peak, you answer the iman in them. Number two is people whose minds have more priority than their iman. You know, the iman and their mind, their mental rationale and thinking are at a level where the mind is just a little bit above their iman. The mental rationalization is about you are also people you can usually convince. The third people, they have no man and they have no mind to think with. They're arrogant and stubborn people, and there's a way to respond to them. among them is people like the Mu'tazila, who everything in the Quran and the Sunnah, first of all, they change it, you see, does it enter our mind or not? If it doesn't enter their mind, they reject it. And in Islam, that's wrong. You know, because not all minds are people alike. So whatever in the Quran and the Sunnah takes it, whether your mind accepts it or not, we don't care what your mind thinks. Because your mind doesn't want things like this. He doesn't think like this. So we take what's in the Quran and the Sunnah and we accept it as is. Now let's go back to apply these three different ways to the question given to Maryam about Maryam. The question is, how could Maryam bear a child without a husband? She asked that question. قالت أنى يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين. She told the priest, how can I have a child? I've been blessed by a man. The priest said كذلك.
قال كذلك.
Allah said it. That's all you have to do. Allah made that decision, that's it. You know, that's just like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. When they thought Abu Bakr was too strong of a believer, that one time Allah escalated the Prophet from Mecca to Jerusalem to Temple of Sky, and that before his death was any less warm than he left it. Think something. So Abu Bakr was in the outskirts of Mecca and he didn't know what was going on, so they ran to Abu Bakr. They said, Abu Bakr, you know what your friend is doing now? He said, what? He said, he claimed he left from Mecca to Jerusalem, which back then was an on-earth journey, to top of seven skies in Mecca, and he said, he came back and his bed is as warm as he left it. Abu Bakr looked at him and said, if he said that, then that's true.